Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Look, if you would, starting when you get there, would everybody's pages quit turning? Joshua chapter 5. Look, if you would, starting at verse 13. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for the word of God that you've given us. And Lord, I'm thankful that we could come to this church this morning, Lord, and expect to hear something from you. And Lord, certainly there are people today that need to hear your words, Lord, that need to hear from you this morning. There are people today, Lord, that have many, many different things going on in their life. Lord, there are people today that are hurting. There are people today who have loved ones that are hurting and are sick. Lord, and everybody in here has many needs. We know that. But Lord, no need that we have is greater than to hear from you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as we have come to this church, Lord, gathered to worship you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts this morning, that you give us the message that you want us to hear. And Lord, I pray that you comfort those that need comforting, Lord, that you convict those that need convicting. Lord, those that aren't saved, Lord, I pray you'll give them no rest, Lord. Show them, Lord, that they need to be saved, that they need a Savior. They desperately need a Savior, Lord, before it's too late. And I just pray that today, Lord, they will hear the gospel. And when they do, Lord, they will respond to it. And as Christians, Lord, I pray that when we hear the word taught to us, that we will respond to your word as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sergeant York was probably the most famous of the soldiers in World War I. And no doubt many have forgotten about Sergeant York or may never have even heard of Sergeant York. I could probably go to my children today or some people in here and I'd say, do you know who Sergeant York is? And a lot of people would not be able to tell us who that is. But even if you remember the story of Sergeant York, chances are you may not know what he did. And what he did was he single-handedly captured 132 German soldiers in just one day while in France. And because of that, he was the recipient of many great honors and several by several nations for his bravery in combat. However, Sergeant York was also a man who was very unlikely to become a legendary hero, because what people don't know about Sergeant York was that he felt before he actually went into battle that his Christian faith barred him from killing anyone, even in war. And after being drafted, York made it known that he was a conscientious objector and that he would not be able to kill other men. So he was sent home on a 10-day leave to think about his situation and consider what the scripture said that was given to him by a Christian captain who was in the army. And York was promised that that he would be dismissed from the army if he still felt the same way when he returned. Finally, in a crisis of faith, God showed York that he could obey God and defend the helpless in Europe at the same time. And later, Sergeant York wrote this. He said, "As I prayed there alone, I knew that he was here. He understood that I didn't want to fight or want to be a killing man. He took pity on me and gave me the assurance I needed, and it was at his will that I do what I did by joining the army. And it was his will that I went and did what the army asked me to do. And that was enough for me." And that was Sergeant York's words. And so Sergeant York had to win the war in his mind before he could win the battles that lay ahead of him in the trenches there in France. And Sergeant York also had to yield to the Lord before he would ever become a great hero in that war. Now, the same thing is true when we see this passage here in Joshua chapter 5. Israel here is getting ready to attack the city of Jericho. But before that battle was to take place, the leader of Israel, Joshua, goes out to inspect the site of the coming battle. And it was on that important day that Joshua came face to face with the real leader of Israel. That day, outside the walled cities of Jericho, Joshua met the Lord. And when he did, Joshua was humbled, and he was prepared for the battle that came the next day. Now I pray this morning that the Lord will use these verses to speak to us this morning and remind us just who's really in control of our situation. You see, Joshua thought that he was the one in control of the whole situation, but really he wasn't. Joshua and the children of Israel could not have won a single battle had it not been for the Lord. And if you don't believe that, you need to read about the very next battle after Jericho, which was the Battle of Ai, where they faced a little tiny nation, and that little tiny nation won because God was not fighting for them on that day. And so Joshua needed the power of the Lord, and Joshua had to understand who was really doing the fighting. And I pray this morning that all of us understand who really is doing the fighting on our behalf, who really is fighting our battles. And this passage here has much to say about that. Now, what you'll see in this passage, you'll see really three things. And the first thing that you see is a soldier. And I want you to see the view of the soldier in this passage. As these verses open, we find Joshua, the leader of the people of Israel, all alone out there looking at the walls of Jericho that they would be invading the next day. And what Joshua was doing out there, some people, I mean, we're not really told what he was doing. He was just out there. He was outside. Can you imagine how nervous he must have been? I mean, they'd already come through, and he had been with the children of Israel through the wilderness, and now they were coming up against the land of Canaan, a land that he had actually went in before. Remember, he was one of the two spies that came out and said, hey, God will give us victory over this land. And so he was one of the two spies, but now he's the leader of the Israel, and they're getting ready to go conquer the very first people within the land of Canaan, the city of Jericho. And we know about the city of Jericho. Jericho was supposed to be, this massive city with these big, huge walls. And in fact, they say that the walls were so big that people used to have chariot races on top of the walls. Now, that's got to be a pretty thick slab of something, amen, to have chariot races on top of it. But certainly, it would be hard for any nation to come in there and defeat them with walls that big. And so Joshua, he's out there looking at this place. He's out there by himself. And really, if you think about it, no doubt Joshua's out there and he's thinking about the promise that God had already given him. Now, here is the promise that God had given Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. He says this. God said this to Joshua. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's what the Lord said to Joshua. Yes. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So imagine, here's Joshua out there. He's standing out there alone. No doubt he's thinking about that promise as he's looking at Jericho and he's looking at those walls right there. He's looking at that and he's thinking about the promise that the Lord gave him. And it was on that basis of the great promise the Lord gave him that he even assumed the leadership role of Israel. Now, he had led them over Jordan. He had led them to a place where they were ready to begin their battle here in the land of Canaan. And on that eve of the battle, Joshua goes out to look at the city that he's getting ready to attack, and he sees this great walled city of Jericho. And as a military leader, there could be little doubt that while he was out there, he was considering the defenses of that city. He was probably thinking about how to formulate the attack and what the Lord had told him to do. But I also want you to consider that Joshua, the leader of a couple of million people. Now, see, that's something we don't understand, but the people he were leading here, it wasn't like it was a couple of hundred. It was a couple of million people that were the children of Israel. Men, women, children. And every decision that Joshua knows that he makes will affect the people that's under his leadership. Some will die. Some will be injured. Families will be torn apart. Lives will be altered, all based on the decision that Joshua makes. So before these decisions are made, Joshua goes out alone under the weight of the burden of his office to seek counsel from the Lord. And you say, well, I don't see him seeking counsel from the Lord at all here. Well, look a little closer. Look at verse 13, Joshua 5:13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Now, it seems to imply that his eyes were down and his head was down. Amen? I doubt he was out there that night sleeping. He was out there praying. And he says all of a sudden, he lifted up his eyes and looked. He recognized the burden that rested upon his shoulders and he was seeking the Lord's help. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Then every time that you see Joshua, how many times did you see Joshua always praying to the Lord before he made a decision? Amen? And so he's out there, he lifts up his eyes, and he wants to make the right decisions for himself and for the Lord's people. Now, anyone who's ever been in a position of leadership knows to some degree how Joshua must have felt. I mean, think about this. As parents, we are in a position of leadership. Amen? I mean, dads, you're leading your family. Mom, you're help leading the family with the kids. You're leading over them. We're leaders. We're leaders within our homes. Here in this church, I'm the leader of the church. We have responsibility as leaders. And those responsibilities are not to be taken lightly. We need to understand that every decision that we make is like tossing a pebble into a pond. It has ripples. Sometimes those ripples are positive. Sometimes they're negative. Not only that, but as Christians, we're going to answer to God for every decision that we make, especially as leaders. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you realize as a parent today you're going to be answering to God for what type of parent that you were and how you what you did with your children and how you raised your children? Why? God has given you that leadership. God's given you the responsibility. And you're going to answer for it. And every decision you make, it's going to have an effect, whether positive or negative. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. As parents, as leaders, we need to take that leadership seriously because the Lord certainly does. He takes it seriously. And we need to be aware of the decisions that we make will have an effect on everybody around us. Now notice here that Joshua, he contemplates this upcoming battle, and he sees this unidentified man standing there nearby with his sword drawn, and this man looks like he's ready to fight. Amen? I mean, he's sitting there with the sword drawn. Notice there in verse 13, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Notice he doesn't hesitate to go up there and find out just on whose side this fella is. Why? He's the leader. I mean, he's trying to protect the children of Israel. And here's a man standing with his sword drawn. And he's like, hey, bub, whose side are you on here? Are you on our side or are you on their side? Because he's a leader. He, in other words, he's supposed to protect his people. That's what he was doing. And so his instinct as a soldier is aroused. He steps up and he marches right to him and asks him, on whose side is he on? And may I tell you, today as leaders, we need to be protective as well. Hey, listen, a pastor today who won't defend his congregation isn't much of a pastor. A dad today who would not defend his wife and children isn't much of a dad. A mother today who would not defend her children is not much of a mom. We're living in a time, folks, when our church and our doctrines and our Bible, our worship, and all the things that identified us as the Lord's people are under attack. And we're living in days when the family, the institution of marriage, and our children are all under assault today. And we need people that are not afraid to stand up and say something. People that are not afraid to take a stand and fight for the things that matter. We need people who are not ashamed to take a stand against the rising tide of evil inside of this country. We need people who stand for the Lord to protect their church, protect their family, protect their community, and from all those that wish to destroy it. And believe me, there are people today that want it destroyed. God's command for his people in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in prayer and his might. Put on the whole armor of God and that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need to stand up for, as Christians. We need to take a stand against the wickedness. And may I tell you, the truth is worth taking a stand for. Morality is worth taking a stand for. Marriage, the family, our children, that's worth taking a stand for. And as this present generation, listen folks, if this present generation doesn't grow a backbone, we're not going to have anything to give to the next generation. We need to take a stand. And I'll tell you something, I don't want to get on a rant this morning. I don't. But we're living in a time, folks, when Christians just aren't willing to take a stand for anything. To sit idly by and not say a word. And seeing that the adversary is out there hacking us, taking out families, taking out our children. He's already destroying our schools. And there are Christians that will sit there and won't say anything. But that's not the way Joshua was. When Joshua saw a person out there with his sword drawn, he marched up to him and said, "Are you for us? Are you for them?" What do you reckon he would have done if he said, "I'm for the other side"? He probably would have fought him tooth and nail. Amen? That's the way we need to be. And so, in this chapter here in Joshua chapter 5, the first thing we see is a soldier. And may I tell you this, we need more soldiers in Christianity today. Amen. We need more people that are willing to go out there and fight the good fight of faith rather than sitting idly by and not doing anything. So we see the view of the soldier. Next thing I want you to see here is the view of the Lord. Look, if you would, back in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." And so here Joshua sees this man, and he's standing there. He's got his sword out, and that's a person ready for battle. This person's ready to fight. Now, this was not just some bystander standing here that was waiting to see what was going to happen. This was a person who was going to make something happen. This man that Joshua saw that night had come ready for a fight. He come ready to fight the enemy. And I would remind you this morning that God is sitting in heaven right now, ready to fight your battles for you. He's ready to fight. He's not just sitting in heaven wondering what he's going to do next so he can decide how to respond. No, listen, he already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what you're going through. He's already made his plans accordingly. And so God is in control of all the affairs of his life, and he's ready to fight the fight for you right now if you just let him. Sword drawn. But so many people today won't let him do it. He's always ready in every situation because he knows the future. Listen, nothing in your life will ever surprise God. Nothing. What you're going through today, he's already seen it. He already knows it. He knows what you're going to go through tomorrow. And he stands prepared to fight. Now let me ask you something. Wouldn't you rather have somebody fighting for you that knows how it's going to all turn out? Yeah. That knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? When Joshua encounters a man, Joshua doesn't even know who he is. So he asks him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And no doubt this answer from this man must have caught Joshua by surprise, because the man says in verse 14, he says, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." In other words, he's saying, I did not come to take sides in this battle. I come to take over the battle because I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And so this man's answer really tells us exactly who this man is. And if there's any doubt of who this man is, there's a couple of things I want you to consider this morning. First, in verse 14, we're told that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Notice that this man did not stop Joshua from worshiping. When you're reading through your Bible, every time that somebody worshiped an angel, you know what that angel said? "Get up! Don't worship me!" Every time a man was worshiped, you know what that man said? "Get up! Don't worship me!" But this one right here never stopped him from worshiping. In other words, when Joshua fell on his face and started worshiping, this man's like, "You're right, keep on doing that." Kind of gives you an idea who he is, amen? But even not only that, but not only did he not stop Joshua from worshiping him, he insists that Joshua even be more reverent than he was. Look at verse 15. "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." And you say, I don't know what that means. If you go back over there, remember when Moses saw the burning bush? Who was in that burning bush? God was. He told you, I am that I am. And you know what he told Moses? Take off your shoes from where you stand, you're on holy ground. Hey, listen, do you know who Joshua is? That person standing there, that man standing there with a sword drawn, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God standing there. And he's ready to fight the fight, ready to fight the fight. In other words, Jericho's battle was never Joshua's. It was God's. And so when those walls came tumbling down, have you ever thought about this? I get so irritated when people start to try to use science to try to explain away the things of the Bible that God does. I read here last week, they talk about when the children of Israel went around Jericho, they said with all that marching every day, it caused this rhythmic tremble. And pretty soon the walls came tumbling down. You know what I think it was? It was no rhythmic tremble. It was the Lord doing this, doink, and down those walls came. It was the power of God. People are always trying to sell away what God does by science. God doesn't need science. Those walls came tumbling down, and it wasn't Joshua who brought them down. It wasn't the children of Israel that brought them down. It was God who brought them down. And may I tell you today, if you have troubles, you're never going to get rid of those troubles unless you rely on God to do the fighting.
Amen.
You're never going to do it.
That's right.
Those walls will never come down. But God can take them down. And so this same God that Joshua sees there, he's the same one that appeared to Hagar over in Genesis 16. He's the one who appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18. He's the one who appeared to the Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. He appeared to Moses in Exodus 33. He appeared to Gideon in Judges 6. He appeared to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He appeared to the three Hebrew children in the furnace over in Daniel 3:25. Nebuchadnezzar there said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Hey, listen, when those three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, they went in with three, but the second they were there, the same God that told Joshua, "I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you," were right there with those children in that fiery furnace. He was right there with them. And Joshua, God made a promise to Joshua and said, "I will never leave you, I'll be with you." And what do you know? The very night before the battle, there he is, sword drawn, ready to fight that fight. Listen, he didn't need the help of Joshua and the children of Israel. The one with the sword drawn, he goes out there by himself and takes those walls down. That's the God we serve. That's the God that's sitting right now ready to fight for you. He was going to be with Joshua regardless of what he went through. Truly, God had kept his promise. So Joshua wasn't alone. The Lord was with him. And by the way, if you're a Christian here this morning, God has made the same promise to you. As God never breaks his promises, he's promised you that he will ever be with you. And he'll be there with you regardless of what you go through. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. That's Jesus Christ's promise to you. He said, doesn't matter what battles you fight, I'll be right there. And so the same Lord who stood poised to do battle for his children here in Joshua chapter 5 is the same Lord that you call upon whenever you need help today. You're not alone. The Lord is always with you. Now notice here that the Lord identifies him as the captain of the host of the Lord. In other words, there was a vast army of warriors camped about him, ready to take on the people of Canaan, but Joshua couldn't see it. How many of you remember the story back in the Old Testament? And you had Elisha's servant. And he went out there and it was praised the Lord, "Open his eyes that he may see." And all of a sudden his eyes were open and he saw all these angelic hosts out there ready to destroy this army that had come up. May I tell you, the captain of the Lord's host. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" You see him over in Revelation chapter 19 when he returns. You know what it says? That the Lord returned with the armies of heaven. Well, only the captain of the Lord's host could do that. Amen? Same one standing there with a sword drawn. And so that's what Joshua sees here. And I tell you, our Lord is still the captain of the Lord's host. He still fights on behalf of his people. And all these truths remind us that the Lord is poised and ready to fight the battles that you have today. What if Joshua that night did what a lot of Christians do today and said, "Lord, I don't need you to fight my battles.
I'll fight this on my own. May I tell you, if Joshua had done that, he'd still be marching around the walls of Jericho to this day, because those walls weren't going to come down under his power. Listen, you have somebody poised to fight your battles. And the battle that you have in front of you, even if you think you can win it, you can't. You can't. But the Lord's ready to fight it for you. Now, that's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you say? And not only that, but you figure just one man who can make those walls fall down when we couldn't even scratch the paint on those walls. He took them down that quick. Why in the world do we still want to fight our own battles? Why do we do that? Don't we understand who we have that's poised and ready? It's not like God's waiting for, it's not like he's caught by surprise if we ask him for help. No, he's sitting there waiting, just waiting for you to say, hey, Lord, take this. And he will. He will. But you know what? He's not going to take the battle for you. He's not going to take the battle for you without you asking. If you want to fight the battle, he's going to let you do it. But may I tell you, why would you? If you're like me, you want the victories. Amen? I mean, I want the victories. I mean, whenever I face a struggle, I want to get the victory out of that struggle. I don't like struggling. The only way I'm going to get the victory is to turn it over to the Lord. And he'll get the victory. Can you think of any time in your life that the Lord didn't get the victory for you? Can you name the time where the Lord failed and never gave you the victory? No, you can't. No, you can't. So we see the view of a soldier. We see the view of the Lord. And then finally, I want you to see this morning the view of a servant. In Joshua chapter 5, look if you would at verse 14. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? When Joshua realizes who's standing right there before him, he assumes his place as servant before the Lord. And may I remind you this morning that Joshua's attitude toward the Lord has a lot to teach us as Christians about how we should approach the Lord and his will. Notice Joshua's humility here. Joshua realizes that he's face to face with the Lord himself, and he falls down before the Lord and starts worshiping him. He exalts the Lord and acknowledges his position by bowing down before him and submitting to his will. And then notice that Joshua wants to know what the Lord would have him do. In other words, when he realized that's the Lord right there, he didn't argue. He didn't tell him what his plans were. He didn't say, Lord, let me tell you, now this is the plan I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do come tomorrow. See if you like it or not. That's not the way it is. But that's the way we pray. Oh, Pastor, I don't pray like that. Yes, you do. I do too. You know what we do? We say, I'm just going to turn this over to the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. Let him handle it. But in our minds, we've already got the plan. We already know really what we're going to do, and what we're trying to do is sell ourselves that that's really the Lord's plan when it's ours. That's what we do. That's what all of us do. We get in our minds, this is what I'm going to do, and then we say, and then if it works out, if it don't work out, we can say, well, I don't know what the Lord's doing. I don't know why it didn't work out. Yes, you do. It was your plan to start with. That's not what Joshua did. When Joshua saw the Lord standing there, he didn't say, Lord, got a plan. This is what I plan on doing, and I hope you bless it, like we do. What he said was this, Lord, what do you have to tell your servant? I mean, we're going out to battle tomorrow. We're going to fight this city of Jericho here. They got big, huge walls. Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm your servant. I'm the one that serves you. Lord, tell me what I must do as your servant. Boy, that's a good attitude to have, isn't it? That's the attitude of a servant. Our biggest problem as Christians today is we got that whole thing mixed up on who's the servant and who's the master. We got it all messed up. Here's what we do. We go out and do our own will, and when we fall on our face, then we cry out to the Lord. And we expect him to show up that quick. Lord, bail me out of this. Well, wait a second here. Now, hold on. Who's the master and who's the servant? You don't go tell the Lord to do anything. If he helps you out, it's by his grace. Amen? Amen. The Lord says, listen,
You have my power. I'm willing to fight the battle for you. All you had to do is just ask, and I'll fight the battle for you. But what our problem is we fight it. We're the ones in charge. We're the ones making the plans. We're the ones with all the ideas. And then all of a sudden we fall down and we call on God to help us out as if he's the cowboy, as if he's the bellboy who's just going to come running and say, I'm going to bail you out because after all, I owe it to you, Bob Crowder, because you messed up. I owe it to you to get you out of trouble. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's the master. We're the servant. And here's Joshua. He sees him standing there, and he puts himself in a position of a servant. He falls on his face. He starts worshiping him. He exalts him. And he puts him, and he calls himself the servant right there before him. And may I tell you that that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to humble ourselves before Him. Make Him the master because He is. And we are to be in the position of a servant. That's always been His will for us. In fact, 1 Peter 5:5 and 5:6 says, For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Whether we're leaders or followers in this world, we're all the servants of the Lord. We must always find ourselves at His feet, humbly submitting to His will, not our own. When was the last time you put yourself on the ground before the Lord? May I remind you that until you're willing to put yourself as a servant before the Lord and humble yourself before the Lord, you'll never, ever enjoy absolute victory over the problems you have in this life. You'll never have the victory over the strongholds that are before you. And certainly, you'll never be the leader that God expects you to be. And one of the things I was taught in the military was this. And those of you who've been in the military, you've heard it 1,000 times. They said before you can be a leader, you've got to be what? A servant. You know why? Because the only way you know how, you got to be a follower. Before you can be a leader, you must be a follower. That way you know what the followers are going through. May I tell you, did Jesus Christ not do that? Did He not come to this earth in the form of a man and suffer? Has He not went through the very same things in all points, tried the same, attempted like we were, yet without sin? Did He not go through all these horrible things? Sure He did. That's the reason He's the mediator between God and man. Because He's a leader. He's already been where we're at. And now He's on the throne and we're the servant. So I'm just going to ask you this morning really simply. I mean, you saw the story here. You saw the leader. You saw the soldier. You saw the Lord. And you saw a servant. This morning, you will not be the husband that you need to be unless you humble yourself before the Lord. You can't be the wife that you need to be unless you humble yourself before the Lord. And you certainly can't be the parent you need to be until you humble yourself before the Lord. In short, you can't be a leader until you humble yourself before the Lord like Joshua did. So the question this morning is this. Who's on the throne this morning? Who's the master this morning? Is it you or the Lord?